that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Long ago, there were rulers in the east who saw a great light. A prophecy had reached them from Israel, and a caravan traveled down from there to Israel, bringing both gifts and their own desperate need. For the greatest among them was ill. He was sick unto the point of death, and was willing to follow the light of Yahweh all the way to see the great prophet that he had learned of in his homeland. He came to Israel and sought the prophet, and he was asked to humble himself, and in that humility to learn for himself that indeed there is a God in Israel. The great prophet's name was Elisha, and the wise man from the east, Naaman. Perhaps you remember this story from the second book of Kings. Naaman came bearing gifts. The gifts would not be received by the prophet. No gold, no frankincense, no myrrh would be accepted. For it would not be right to take gifts for the work that only God could do. Instead, he received a command: return to your country, let others see you and see your face, and they will know too that there is a God in Israel, for you will be healed. Second book of Kings. Second book of Kings offers us here something of a prophecy about what we truly observe tonight: the good news of salvation to those outside of the chosen people of God. The gospel, the good news for the Gentiles. Now, perhaps if you remember this story from the second book of Kings, you'll remember that there was some disbelief even in the time of Elisha and Naaman. For Elisha had a servant named Gehazi, and Gehazi was not too keen on such grace being given to Naaman for no payment. And Gehazi chased after Naaman of his own accord and declared that we truly did need the payment, deciding to take that payment for himself and trying to hide it from the prophet Elijah. I don't know why you'd hide something from a prophet of God. But anyhow, Gehazi, who had seen Naaman now with flesh like a child, became diseased himself, having known the power of God, but not having known God. Long ago, there were rulers in the east who saw a great light. A prophecy had reached them from Israel, and they traveled down to Israel, bringing both gifts and their own desperate need. Tradition, not the scriptures, tell us their names, though there is no record in the Bible and no record actually of the number of the wise men. However, tradition tells us their names as Melchior, a Persian name, Caspar, an Indian name, and Balthazar, an Arabian name. And when these wise men found the great prophet that they sought, they found much more than a great prophet. They found a king, and for that king there would be gold. They found a priest, a great high priest, and for him there would be frankincense. And they found a suffering servant, and there would be myrrh, a mysterious gift for a child, for the one whom Isaiah spoke of, king and the priest who would suffer on their behalf. The wise men of the east, perhaps not fully understanding, nevertheless knelt down to this one of whom Isaiah wrote in the 53rd chapter: "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Myrrh, for the one about whom it may be said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Here these wise men genuflect, and here the one they genuflect before makes intercession for them. When these wise men bowed and worshipped and left their gifts, we do not know what wisdom was given to them precisely about who this child was that they had traveled so far to see. But they knelt before their own salvation, before one who would save them. And their gifts, in light of this, were paltry and symbolic at best. For he would be their healing, as Naaman. He would be their savior. And like Naaman, these ones would go home satisfied. These ones would go back to pagan lands having found what they came for, and they could exclaim with Naaman, "There is a God in Israel." But their gifts would not be returned to them, and there was no Gehazi to chase them down. Their gifts would be received. It was not fitting for Elisha to take Naaman's gift for something that God had done. But it was fitting for Jesus Christ to receive gifts from men, for he is the Word made flesh. He is God dwelling amongst us. Indeed, more than gold for our king, and frankincense for our great high priest, or myrrh for our Lamb of God, Jesus will receive all that we can give, ourselves, our souls, and our bodies. And these we should give. And it is meet and right so to do. For we are now no longer strangers, no longer far off. Now and always, as we genuflect before this King and offer ourselves, we are fellow heirs, partakers of the promise of the unsearchable riches of Christ, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.